Matthew. You're not going to be in Hebrews. You're going to be in Matthew tonight. So I don't have sheets for you. So you're already going to throw tomatoes. Like, all right, Jonathan has sheets. Wait, we're in Hebrews. No. But we'll just take a break from that tonight. And so if you'll turn with me to Matthew chapter 6, there are some things here that are discussed, and we can gather from this area of scripture that these are things we should all be doing, because he's going to tell us how we shouldn't do them. And so if he's going to give us some heads up on don't do it this way, it means that we should be doing these things. So these should be things that are a part of our life that we should be doing. So one, tonight, if you're not doing these things, then this is an opportunity for you to go, okay, I'm going to start doing this because this is part of what God wants me to do as a follower of Christ. And if you are doing these things, then he's reminding you tonight the right way to do them. Does that make sense? And so I want to read to you from the, I have my King James, my new King James, but I also have a Passion Translation. And I want to read to you from the Passion Translation tonight. And so I know that's not on the screen, but you can put on the screen the regular Matthew 6:1 from the New King James, and I'll reference back to it. It says, "Examine your motives to make sure you're not showing off when you do your good deeds, only to be admired by others. Otherwise, you will lose the reward of your heavenly Father. So when you give to the poor, don't announce it and make a show of it just to be seen by people like the hypocrites in the streets and in the marketplace. They've already received their reward. But when you demonstrate generosity, do it with pure motives and without drawing attention to yourself. Give secretly, and your Father who sees all you do will reward you openly." So that's Matthew 1 through 4. So what we can gather is that we should be doing good deeds. Somebody say, good deeds. That should be a part of our life. We should be doing good deeds. What are some of the good deeds? Because is it only pertaining to the one thing it says, giving to the poor? No, it goes beyond that. So good deeds is giving money. Hey, that's a good thing. How many of you like to get money? Giving is important. It is a part of who we should be. And so good deeds, giving money, giving goods, what you have. Sometimes it's not about a monetary, but sometimes it's about God impressing you to give something you have. You know, someone needs a coat and you have 10 coats in your closet and they have none, or theirs is like, you know, falling apart and God's kind of pushing at you, and he may ask you to give the best coat in your closet, not the worst, because sometimes we're like, yeah, I can give the worst one. I didn't really like it anyways. It was on its way out to the Goodwill, so sure, I'll give it. But sometimes God says, you know, I want you to give the best that you have. And so good deeds, giving what you have, giving monetarily, giving of your time. How many of you know that your time is precious nowadays? Sometimes I feel like there's just not enough hours in the day. And so maybe you have someone that says, hey, I have a piece of furniture that needs moved. Could you come by? And you're thinking, when am I going to fit that in? I got to go home. I got to cook dinner. I got to get my kids here. I got to do this. I got to do that. I haven't balanced my checkbook. No, I can't help you move a piece of furniture. Find someone else. But doing good deeds is stopping and saying, you know what, I do have a lot going on, but I want to go and I want to help meet the need of someone, even if that need is insignificant. Sometimes we do good deeds off of if we think it's significant or not. Well, maybe it's not significant to you, but maybe it's the world to someone else. If you ever had something like that in your life that seemed so small, but you thought, if just somebody would do this, it would relieve so much pressure in my life. Another thing is good deeds is making connections. You know, it's good to reach out to one another and to make connections and to spend time with each other. So whatever aspect of good deeds that you want to pull from, you know, maybe tonight the Lord's reminding you of something that you could do, we need to be doing good. The world needs some good. Amen? Like, we hear of bad, we see bad, we can probably all stand tonight and tell a bad story. But how many of us can stand tonight and tell a good story? How many of us can say, hey, I saw this or this happened, and it encouraged me and it blessed me and it was so awesome? Like, we need some good stories. And in order to have some good stories, some of us are going to have to do some good stuff. Because when we do good stuff, good stories get told. But what he's telling us here is don't tell your own story. Don't toot your own horn. So do some good, and I guarantee you, your good is going to get told. You know, have you ever, I've never had it happen to me, but I don't think. I'm pretty sure it hasn't. But have you ever been in a drive-thru and then somebody paid for your stuff, and then you're like, wow, they paid for my food, and you're like, wow, and then you told somebody, and you're like, the person in front of me, like, totally paid for my order, and that was, like, awesome, you know? So there are things that we can do that are good that will get told, but don't toot your own horn, and don't do it so that people think you're awesome. That's what he's saying here. He's saying good deeds should absolutely be a part of your life. You should be doing them. And like we talked tonight, it can be in many ways that we're doing those good deeds. Sometimes we don't have a buck to give, but we have a word of encouragement to give. Sometimes we can't make anybody cookies because we can't afford cookie mix, but we can go sit with someone and help them out or whatever the case is. But do it, and do it as unto the Lord. And let him reward you. Don't reward yourself, because your reward won't be as good as his. Remind yourself of that. Your reward won't be as good as his. Now, is it okay that you mention it sometimes? Yeah, I'm not saying like you can never tell anybody anything that you ever did. It's the heart behind it. What is the heart behind why you told? Sometimes I've shared stories because I felt like it was a way to encourage someone else in their giving, or confirmation of, hey, you know, God can make provision for you, and you might share that story. So, good deeds. All right, the second thing, we're going to move on to verse 5. Whenever you pray, be sincere and not like the pretenders who love the attention they receive while praying before others in the meetings and on street corners. Believe me, they've already received in full their reward. But whenever you pray, go into your innermost chamber and be alone with God, praying to him in secret. And your Father who sees all you do will reward you openly. When you pray, there is no need to repeat empty phrases, praying like those who don't know God, for they expect God to hear them because of their many words. There is no need to imitate them, since your Father already knows what you need before you ask him. And then we're going to stop right there. So what should already be a part of our life as believers? Prayer. We should be praying. Praying without ceasing. Prayer should be a part of our life. If we are not praying, we need to be praying. It is important, but not with intent to look spiritual. Not with intent to look like we're somebody who's got it all together and no issues, and I'm going to pray loud, and I'm going to pray long, and I'm going to pray like words that you've never heard. So that you're kind of trying to figure out what that prayer was even about. Have you ever had that? Somebody, and you're like, I'm not even sure what they prayed. Sounded really good, though. Pray from your heart. Pray from your innermost being, and that prayer may be really short and simple. You know, I was at Koa's game on, Becky, what day did you guys come to Koa's game? Saturday. And we were sitting there, and we were actually in conversation with one another, but I could hear Abigail over here, and it tickled me because I heard her praying. And I don't know why she prayed what she prayed, but she's like, and thank you, Lord, that no monsters come our way. And I just love you, Lord. And I just heard that, you know, and it was sweet because she was legitimately concerned about something. I don't know if somebody looked like a monster out there on the field or not, but but she was letting her request be known unto the Lord, and it was very simple, and it was very pure, and she let the Lord know, I love you, Lord. And that blessed me. And you know, it blesses the Father when we just come to him and we just lay our request before him. And maybe it is all mumble jumbled, or, you know, maybe we, you know, if it's from your heart, that's what he cares about. And so I want to encourage you not to impress others with your words. Take your words and make them straight to the point. And we have an example. And so I'm going to go back to what you guys are reading up here, because he gives us an example to follow. And it says, Our Father, and do you all know this? Let's say it together tonight. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. That is a prayer that I remember like getting a prize for being able to say it in front of the children's church class when I was little. And I just knew it as a ritualistic prayer. But there is some key things within this prayer that we can utilize every time we pray. One is acknowledging who we're going to. So our Father in heaven, we're acknowledging that he is the creator. He is God. You are the supreme. And I'm coming before you. Know who you're going before when you pray. You can be praying with something for someone that the situation is much bigger than you. But guess who you're going to in prayer? You're going to the creator of heaven and earth. You're going to the mighty one. You're going to the one and only God. So in this prayer, we see that who we're going to is acknowledged. And we can do that when we go in prayer, is acknowledge who we're going to. Second thing we see is giving him praise. Hallowed be your name. When we go to prayer, we acknowledge you are God and you are worthy of my praise. Before I even touch my issue, before I touch her issue or his issue or all of these issues, I am going to go before who I know can take care of it. You as God, and I'm going to just praise you now. I'm just going to just worship you now. I'm just going to lift you up for who you are. You are holy. You are worthy. You are mighty. You are the Prince of Peace. You are Jehovah Jireh, my provider. You are Jehovah Nissi, my peace. You can begin to speak who he is and praise who he is when you go to prayer. The next thing we see is that we release our plan to his plan. Your kingdom come and your will be done. Father, I release whatever I think, and I ask that your kingdom come here on earth and your will be done. Because we can have our plan, right? And we can pray our plan, or we can say, Lord, let your will be done. So we acknowledge him, we praise him, we release our plan to his plan, and then we ask for our needs to be met. It says, give us today our daily bread. So what we eat today gives us strength for today, but it also gives us strength for tomorrow. You know, we got to be able to have energy. And so we can go to him and we can ask for our needs to be met. Give us this day our daily bread. Lord, you see where I'm lacking. You see where my body's lacking, where my mind is lacking, where my finances is lacking. You can see where I need nourishment and I need strength. And I come to you and I'm asking for these things. And we can trust him in that. And then we asked for forgiveness. You know, we could just quit right there. We could just, you know, I acknowledge you. I praise you. Let your will be done. Here's what I need. Oh, but then he's like, yeah, how about having a heart of forgiveness? Lord, will you forgive me? And I'll forgive others. And you know, that's kind of a sticky part of prayer sometimes. But coming before the Lord and acknowledging, that means you're acknowledging that there's some things maybe this week, maybe today, maybe 5 minutes ago that was not so pleasing to you. Would you forgive me, Lord? And then before we move on, oh yeah, and there's that person. And they just rub me raw. But Lord, I forgive them. I forgive them. And then we ask him for protection. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Protection over our own weakness, because how many of you know we're going to be tempted? Temptation is not a sin. You can all go, whew, thank you, Jesus, because I was tempted. But we can fall prey to our weakness in that temptation. So we're asking the Lord to protect us, that we won't fall into that temptation, and deliver us from the schemes of the enemy, because we know that ultimately the enemy comes and we're tempted because he wants us to fall prey to that temptation so that we can get away from your plan and your purpose and fall prey to him. But we don't want that. So Lord, protect me from that. And then we acknowledge he can do this because of who he is. Because of who he is. So, we should be doing good deeds, and we should do them without tooting our own horn. We should be praying, and we should pray from our heart, not in a way to impress anyone. And God sees our heart and our prayer, and he gives us this guideline so that we recognize a process that can take place when we pray. Amen? So then we move on to verse 16. It says, when you fast, don't look like those who pretend to be spiritual. They want everyone to know they're fasting, so they appear in public looking miserable, gloomy, and disheveled. Believe me, they've already received their reward in full. But when you fast, don't let it be obvious, but instead wash your face, groom yourself, and realize that your Father in the secret place is the one who is watching all that you do in secret and will continue to reward you openly. So again, this is something we should be doing. We should be fasting. I don't think the church probably talks about fasting enough. It's kind of like an option if you feel like it, if you want to, if you think it's cool, if it's the in book, everybody can buy it, Fasting Today 101, and we're like, oh, I'm going to fast now because there's a book on it. Fasting is in the Word of God. It's been in the Word of God. It's an old practice. It's been around for a long time, and it's something that we should do. And it doesn't have to necessarily be food. It can be fasting a lot of different things. God can, you know, I had someone tell me the other day, this is funny, kind of, but she said, you know, the Lord told me not to go to any thrift stores for 3 months. I don't want the Lord to tell me that. I love those thrift stores. But she said, you know, I don't know why, but I'm just not going to do it. I'm so it'll be October before I go to another thrift store. And I said, well, you know, the Lord's speaking that to your heart and you feel that, then God's going to do something in that. And so, you know, God speaks to us and impresses us. And sometimes you have this, have you ever had this thought and you thought, oh, that's just me. So you toss it back and you think, you know, that was just, you know, I don't know. But then it keeps coming back to you and it won't leave you. And you're like, that might be the Lord, you know? And so I had that happen to me, and I did a fast, and I fasted sugar and some other things. And, you know, and I knew that was what the Lord wanted me to do. And so there was blessings in that, and I saw the blessings in it. And fasting isn't easy because it's a sacrifice. It's giving up something. You know, don't fast something you don't care about. That's easy, you know. One time our family at the beginning of the year, we sit down and we reflect. And, you know, one time I said to the kids, you know, what is something that you think that you would want to fast as we start into this new year? And so, you know, Koa was like, given me some good stuff, like all the things he hates to do. Like, I think, like, I won't make my bed for a month. I'm like, no, 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 no. And so, you know, he's like, and then when we decided on our family fast, what we were going to do as a family, he was not happy. He's like, but can't we change this, you know? And so then we talked to him about it, and it was neat because I said, you know, I'm not going to make you do something, but I want you to think about it. And then he said, yeah, I'm going to, and he complied, and there was blessings in that. And so you can't take on what someone else is doing unless that's what God's called you to do, or you just won't make it, you know? One time Jonathan thought he was going to fast 40 days, and he's like, yeah, no, God wasn't calling me to that. And I'm like, thank you, Jesus, because you were getting ugly. And so, like, I didn't think it was God either, but if you said it was, I was going to try to follow and be as supportive as I could, but my support was just about dwindling down to none. So, you know, sometimes we feel like we got to do what someone else is doing. Do what God is asking you to do. Make fasting a part of your life because there's blessings that come from it. In fact, you know what? We have gotten accustomed to the dark because we're around darkness so much. And so our eyes have kind of adjusted to it. But if we pull ourselves away from some things, then we sometimes go, I can't believe I was watching that show. Like, I pulled away and I gave that show up for a month. And now that I've come back, I'm like, do you know what all is in that show? But when you were watching it all the time, you kind of got used to it. So fasting keeps some balance in our life. But again, I find it ironic that he is telling us, don't do it so that everybody looks at you like, whoa, you're spiritual. Actually, back in the day, the Jews would put the ashes on their head, and that was signifying what they were doing. Okay, so in this version, it says here to put the oil on and to wash your face, looking exactly where it says it, because what that represented is oil was used back then for joyous occasions. So it says, when you fast, don't let it be obvious, but instead wash your face and groom yourself and realize that your Father in the secret place is the one who is watching. And so it's like, put on the oil, wash your face, and look like it's a joyous occasion because God's doing something for you even in the midst of what you're sacrificing. So then we go on, and it says in verse 19, don't keep hoarding for yourselves earthly treasures that can be stolen by thieves. Material wealth eventually rusts, decays, and loses its value. Instead, stockpile heavenly treasures for yourself that cannot be stolen and will never rust, decay, or lose their value. For your heart will always pursue what you value as your treasure. The eyes of your spirit allow revelation light to enter into your being. If your heart is focused, the light floods in. But if your eyes are focused on money, the light cannot penetrate and darkness takes its place. How profound will be the darkness within you if the light of truth cannot enter? How could you worship two gods at the same time? You will have to hate one and love the other, or be devoted to one and despise the other. You can't worship the true God and the God of many. So something that we see here as treasure, we're to store up something, but it's not all the earthly things. It says to store up for the heavenly, for our future that is in Christ Jesus. And so I like in reading this, the eye, what is your eye focused on versus what your heart is focused on? Our eyes can distract us. And if we're focused on what's on the surface versus being focused on what's in our heart, what has God placed in your heart that the enemy has brought something that's caught your eye and you got your focus off of what God had placed in your heart to what you saw? Does that make sense? Because there's sometimes that we see things and we get distracted by it. And maybe we start even desiring things that we never wanted because somebody else made something look good. And all of a sudden, the desire that we really had in our heart, well, this caught our eye, and now we think we want this. And we got to go back to what has God placed in your heart. And he wants us to build up for those heavenly, the heavenly treasures. It says, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, verse 20, where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. So it's okay to have desires, right? It's okay to work towards something, amen? But when our focus becomes material and our focus is driven by the material things, things that are just gonna, how much time do you spend on things that are gonna pass away and how much time do you spend on what will be eternal? It's a good way to think about where we're at, you know? How much are we spending on things that are just not even going to matter? And how much are we spending on things that will matter? You know, we're big advocates of missions. And why? Because there's people around the world that haven't heard the gospel yet. Can you imagine? They haven't heard the name of Jesus. They haven't heard the good news. Now, I may not be called to go to those places, but I can spend money helping other people. I had the opportunity several years back to go to Panama for a trip. That's one of the trips I went on as a teenager, so I've been back there multiple times. But we were stationed in a village in the jungle where the Kuna Indians, that's their province, and it was like a tribal meeting where Kuna chiefs were going to be coming from all over the jungle to this one spot that we were at, and we were going to have the opportunity at the end of their council meetings to present the gospel by using the Jesus film. And the only way we were able to do that is because the Jesus film had been translated into Kuna. So they didn't speak Spanish, so to show it in Spanish would have done nothing for them because they didn't speak Spanish. They spoke Kuna. And so we were able to show the film in Kuna, the whole gospel out in the middle of this field with a generator on the screen. And afterwards, numerous people, Jonathan gave the altar call, and so I don't remember how many, but numerous men in those tribes gave their lives to the Lord. That is awesome. And someone had to finance a company to be able to do that, to be able to make the film, to be able to pay for translators. You know, what are we spending our money on? Things that, and is there balance? Because we believe in the word balance, right? Jonathan says it all the time. He drills it into our kids. He drills it into me. Balance. Balance. God wants you to have some fun. You know, he wants you to do things, but he wants us to have balance in that. So I believe this area of Matthew really is balancing. He's telling us, here's some things I want you to have as a part of your life. I want you to do good deeds. I want you to pray. I want you to fast. I want you to have those treasures. But here's the thing. I don't want you to do it so that you can show everybody what you got. But I want you to do it with the purity of a heart, keeping me first. And what I love is this is the area, this chapter is one of the famous church scriptures that's quoted, and you will find it in verse 33, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So he's saying, I want you to do these things, but here's the whole key that I'm speaking to you about: not doing it to be seen, and not doing it to be showy, and not doing it to look spiritual, and not doing it to build up things and stuff materialistically for yourself. But seek me first, and all these things will be added unto you. God will give you favor. God will bless you. God will send people that are like amazed by who you are. But it wasn't at your own hand. It's because he rewards, and he gives, and he sees. And when you feel like he doesn't, trust me, he does. He does. The enemy wants you to feel like you gave that and you did that and you sacrificed that and God doesn't care. He's done nothing for you. You just tell the devil that he's a liar to get behind you and get in his place because you don't know my God like I know. And he is a rewarder for his children. And there are rewards for me. And I may not see them or know how they're coming or where they're coming, but I know that my God cannot lie. Amen? So he tells us in this next area of the scripture, and we'll back up to verse 25. He says, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body and what you will wear. Is not life more important than food and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow? They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Amen? So he doesn't want us to worry how all these things are going to come about, and how provision's going to come, and how he's going to make it all work together. He just wants you to trust him. God's got it. He wants you to seek him, and he wants you to rest in him, and he'll take care of everything. He'll take care of everything else. There's a, you know, I like those song phrases, but this one's a Christian one, and it's Keith Green, and it says, "He'll take care of the rest." He was a Christian artist, singer in the 70s, and he'd say, "He'll take care of the rest." And he will. He'll take care of the rest. You do your part, and he'll take care of the rest. I just want to encourage you in that tonight. I want to encourage you to do good deeds. I want to encourage you to pray. I want to encourage you to fast. I want to encourage you to build up for the kingdom of God, for heaven is your home, and how can you help others join you there, and what can you do to keep yourself on the path of going there and not get caught up in all the things of this world, but know that he'll take care of you. He loves you. He has a plan. He has a purpose for you, and tonight's just a good reminder of what we need to do and what he'll do for us. Amen? Stand to your feet. Lord, we just thank you tonight. We lift you up for who you are, and you are God, you are creator, and we thank you, Lord, for what you've established in your kingdom. And Father, we just thank you, and we praise you, and we worship you tonight. And I ask, Lord, that if any of us are lacking in some of these areas tonight, that God, you've already quickened our hearts. You've already spoken to us through your word, and your word is life, Lord. Your word corrects, your word loves on us, and Lord, your word gives us good guidance. And so I thank you, Father, for guiding us into the steps of where we need to head as believers in you. So Father, I just thank you for encouraging us to pray more, encouraging us to fast, encouraging us to do good. I thank you, Lord, that we're not gonna worry. And I ask tonight, if there's been those that are here that have been worrying, that Lord, this message would just bring peace to them, that you've got it, that you see their very need in their bodies, you see their need in their finances, you see their need in their relationships, you see their need in every aspect of their life, and that tonight would be a reminder that they can rest in you, they can trust in you, that as they seek you first and they seek who you are and they seek your word and they seek to spend time with you, that God, you've got it. And I just ask for a peace to rest upon each and every person here tonight. And I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, Lord, we praise you. We ask for protection. We ask, Lord, for blessings as we go out. In Jesus' name, amen.